today on Real Radio.
One of the overwhelming things for me is to realize nobody can take this from me. You can take my house, you can take my clothes, you can take my health, but the fact that the Holy Spirit has marked you for salvation and you know him and he knows you is an awesome, awesome experience.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Arriving, the Second Coming of the Son of God, Part 5, continues now in a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. We're glad you joined us today. You know, arriving is the theme as we close out the book of Isaiah. By arriving, of course, we mean a succession of events and fulfillments of Bible prophecy, including the physical return of Jesus Christ to the earth. In the first few verses of Isaiah chapter 64, we learned that Christ will arrive physically in the second coming to do battle. He will come to set things right by establishing his form of government in Jerusalem. Judgment has come to the earth, and the nations will have to answer for how they treated Israel. Many of the Jews will be deceived by the Antichrist during the seven-year tribulation period, but the faithful who believe Jesus to be the Messiah will be delivered. So today in Isaiah chapter 64, Pastor Jack tells us that God promises in his word to bring the Jewish people back to Israel. That's why they are remembering their heritage and returning to their homeland. God is setting the stage for his people and preparing them for what lies ahead. And now in his lesson called Arriving, the Second Coming of the Son of God, Part 5, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Part 5 of a message entitled Arriving. And when we say arriving, you know by now as we've gone through this study that we're talking about the return of Jesus Christ in the Second Coming. It's important that you remember that there's a great difference between the rapture, that is the appearing of Christ in the air, and the Second Coming of Christ, which is physical, to the earth. This portion of Isaiah begins to speak to us about what it will be like when the second coming takes place, or more even appropriately, after Christ establishes his reign in Jerusalem. I love the fact that when you go to Israel, when you go to Jerusalem, you have this overwhelming sense as a believer. And I think it's the Holy Spirit in you, that there's a sense of excitement. Now we know, church, you and I know that the near future of Israel is very, very grim. You know that, right? Do you know that? You say, Jack, are you kidding? Wait a minute, it's beautiful there. Yeah, I know, but they're prospering. Just saw Intel signed a $10 billion deal with this. I know. They're the superpower of the region. I know. And they found natural gas and petroleum and vast amount, and their military, I know. But the Bible says there's soon coming a day that they're going to be deceived by the coming Antichrist. And he's going to devastate that nation. And he's going to ravage them. That's all part of the tribulation period. It's that time that gets the nation of Israel, though they be a remnant, that will make up the nation. There's the nation and many unbelievers. Then there's the nation that is of the believing house of Israel, known to God. You and I don't exactly know them. We know a couple of them. The Amir Sarfati types, the Marty Goetz types. You know any Jews that are born again?
Yes.
So you know them. But during that period of time, God's Holy Spirit will begin to open the eyes of the remnant of the house of Israel, and they'll come to know the Lord. And when that time happens, when Christ returns, the kingdom will be established. And I want to give you this and have you kind of keep it before you in your note-taking, that we must remember that as we get into this, regarding the church, you and I tonight, the church in the earth for the last 2,000 years, the next biblically recorded event to happen is the rapture of the church. You may disagree regarding where the rapture is placed. That's between you and God. But we sang it a moment ago that regarding the church, we are to be ready, the Bible says. We don't know when he's coming. It's sudden without warning. And he's going to be looking for those who are looking for him. And that is an event that is the next grand biblical event recorded in the Bible for the church. And you say, well, Pastor, what about persecution? What about revival? What about... Those are seasons that come and go in the life of the church in the world. I'm talking about the next prophetic biblical event for the church would be the rapture. Secondly, regarding the nation of Israel, the next recorded biblical event is really what's going on now, and that is the regathering of the nation of Israel into their own land. You heard me right. God says, in the last days, before I come back, I will bring the Jews from all over the world back into their own land. Now, that presupposes they've got their own land. There was no such thing ever in human history as the land of Palestine or a Palestinian until some Gentile in Rome in 135 AD declared it to be so as an insult to the Jewish people in the land of Israel. Who knows this? Nobody knows this because nobody reads history. So you say that today and people go, I can't believe that. What? What'd he say? Just read all about it in history. See, why do you bring this up? Because there is a concerted effort to undermine the fact that God's word is true. God says, I'm going to bring my people back, the Jew. Read Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 11, or for that matter, that chapter. God says, I'm going to bring the Jews from all around the world, though they've been scattered throughout the ages, and into all of the regions of the world. In the last days before I come back, I'll bring them back to their own land, their land I promised to Abraham. This is Bible. So when somebody says, oh, you know, the Israel's the occupier. If you think that's attractive to your hearing, then you are a disciple of modernism. You're a disciple of revisionism. You're a disciple of CNN. I don't know, seriously. No, seriously. You're a disciple of the UN. And yet it's completely opposite of the Bible. Are you hearing me? You've got to pick and choose which narrative you're going to believe in. Look, you choose. You choose whatever you choose. I'm going to go with the Bible. I'm going to go with the Bible every time. Listen, all these things are going to come and go, including America, and God's word will stand. And guess who's going to stand in the end? God is so committed. It's amazing to me. He's committed that a remnant of the Jew he'll save, and they'll be in their own land in the last days. Amen. And you say, well, what are they, you know, what makes them so special? Nothing. Yes. Nothing. God said it, and so he's committed to what he says. He says, I esteem my word above my own name, Psalm 138. So God's promises to you, will he keep them?
Yes.
Absolutely. If God breaks his promise with Israel, you ain't got no assurances. You see how serious this is? This is a big deal. That's why it's so unpopular to say what I've been saying for the last 10 minutes. This is not how you grow churches. This is not how you get people to attend. That's a little too much truth. And yet without God saying it in advance and then fulfilling what he has said, you would never know if he's true or not. You would never know if he's faithful. So regarding the church age, the rapture, regarding Israel, the regathering of Israel back into the land, and regarding the world, the next recorded biblical event is a scale of global deception and ecological destruction coming upon this world that is going to shock the world. And that's what the world has in store. You guys, dive in now. Verse 1, we got into verse 1 in a few verses, or I should say a few words into verse 1. We're looking regarding arriving right now, and verses 1 to 3, we see the preparation of his nation. Isaiah 64, verse 1, oh, that you would rend the heavens, that you would come down. This is the call, this is the cry of the remnant in future days, church, in the future, that the mountains might shake at your presence. Verse 2, as fire burns brushwood, as fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, that the nations may tremble at your presence. Verse 3, when, or some of your translations say, or like when, looking back at something that happened, when you did awesome things for which we did not look, God, you did things that we weren't expected and asking for. You did the miraculous. You came down, it says. The mountain shook at your presence. This is something that you would say is of biblical proportions. Mount Sinai shook at the presence of God. The account of it is awesome, written in the Exodus. So much did God shake Mount Sinai that the people said, Moses, we don't want anymore to be near this mountain. And when you talk to God, you go talk to him, because that terrified us. He shook the mountains. And you say, well, I don't see God doing that anymore. Because this is the church age of grace. These last 2,000 years, God has been waiting. He's so patient. He's been waiting. 2,000 years, he's been waiting. There's been no things of biblical proportion in the sense that God is doing it. Have there been earthquakes? Yes, of course. Have there been tsunamis? Have there been horrible summers and horrible winters and all these? Of course. But when God shakes, there'll be no doubt. It won't be a natural disaster. You know, it's kind of strange, though. Have you looked at your insurance policy when you, what does it cover? Well, okay, how much am I paying you guys a month? That much? And what won't you cover? We'll cover the stuff where we'll pay for it as long as we're still making a lot of money out of you, Jack, and all of you homeowners and everybody here. We'll cover your leaky faucet. But if you really need insurance, we're not on the hook for that, because that's an act of God. They blame it on him. There's a day coming when God is going to shake. Why? Because he's going to be preparing his nation for their eyes and for their ears to be open to him. And this is Isaiah speaking about the future. You can write it in the margins of your Bible. This has not yet happened. This is Israel's future. It's remarkable. Acts of God. Romans chapter 11, verse 33 says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and of the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. That's awesome. God's ways are beyond us. We need to be careful about that. We need, as believers, to tremble at his word. We need to tremble at the reality of him and who he is. You shouldn't just tremble when the ground shakes or when something is unexplainable to you in your life. We need to nurture our spirits to be trembling before him in awe. And we can have reminders of that kind of stuff. We have some staff that's vacationing right now up in Yosemite. And I saw a picture tonight. And I forget one of the waterfalls. You know, there's a couple waterfalls that flow into the valley there. And normally it drips over the cliff and it falls down to the valley floor. Not now. We've had such record snow and rain up north. The river is going right off the cliff, off the edge. Instead of it going like this and hitting the valley floor, it's going like this. It looks like a fire hose from God's house that's on. And that kind of stuff, when you're standing there, have you ever stood next to a lot of water moving, big water? It's kind of eerie. Have you been on the backside? Have any of you been to Niagara Falls and gone inside and gone to the back end of the waterfall? You know, you ought to do that just to scare the snot out of you someday. You can go down in the ground and go under the river, and then there's a big, big hole, and you can walk up and you are behind the waterfall. And you know what? All your hair and your clothes starts going like this. It's pulling you into the water. And I'm getting goosebumps right now thinking about it. It's so freaky. And you realize, I'm not such a big deal after all. A lightning storm, when it's over your head, you realize, I'm a very small, insignificant speck on this earth. You know what I'm saying? The awe of God. If those things can provoke awe, I believe that you and I meditating and seeking the Lord personally, privately, and I pray that for all of us. My goodness, there's enough people here on this Wednesday night service that if we really sought God alone and waited upon him and just meditated and pondered, what's the word? Mused upon him, I believe that there are those moments when you encounter God where it's equivalent to those epic type of natural things that are around us, maybe even better, because you get a squeeze, you get an impression from him from within. And it's such a great thing that one of the overwhelming things for me is to realize nobody can take this from me. You can take my house, you can take my clothes, you can take my health. Are you hearing me? But the fact that the Holy Spirit has marked you for salvation and you know him and he knows you is an awesome, awesome experience. And that's going to be the realization of God's remnant nation someday. Look at verses 4-7. We see that there's the repentant or penitence of his elect. They are going to turn and cry out to him. And at the same time, we need to look at this as a warning to those who do not repent. Verse 4, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God besides you, who acts for the one who waits for him. Now watch what happens. I love this. The announcement. Okay, our eyes, you can see the nation. Imagine, the eyes of the people are starting to open. And they're starting to remember the great works of God. They're starting to recall their heritage. Now, this is Israel's future. But look, we don't have to be abstract regarding Israel tonight. Think about you tonight. Think about you. The Bible here says, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear or by the eye things seen regarding God, anything like him. He's beyond, as we read a moment ago. But he says, but you act. Notice the difference. The people don't consider it. I think it's Isaiah 57, 1 and 2, I think, that says that people die and they're taken away, and no one takes it to heart nor understands that God has removed them from the earth to spare them from evil. Who thinks of this? Wow. Is it possible that for the believer that eternity is better than this life? Yes. Think of it. That the life that you and I have as a believer trusting Christ is so amazing, the future so amazing that it just causes this world and the things of this world to just grow strangely dim? Yeah. God's elect, they're going to repent and they're going to turn to him. But listen, when he talks about the world from the beginning, not understanding or perceiving, he's showing you a difference here, that there is a difference between those that wait upon God. See, the difference in verse 4 is that there are those who wait upon God and those who do not wait. You see, Jack, what do you mean wait? And that's a great question. What does it mean to wait upon God? We read about it in the Bible. We hear about it. There's books written on it. You hear people say, don't they say to you, oh, I'm just waiting on the Lord? Do you understand? If people don't know what you're talking about, that's Christianese. That's a language that we're talking, that if you don't know the meaning of that, it's just Christian jargon. You know, like when we say, oh, praise the Lord. Well, what do you mean by that? You know, oh, I got a flat tire, praise the Lord. Well, what? No, I don't think we should throw that term around very easily. I'm not saying you shouldn't praise the Lord when you have a flat tire, but when you just drop it as a word, oh, shoot. Well, what does that mean? You know what I'm saying? And so when somebody says, oh, I'm just waiting on the Lord. Well, what do we mean by that? It means that we've got something going on in our life that we don't know the answer to, and we don't want to make a mistake. So we're seeking him, and we're in his word, and we're asking him. And this is so, listen, if there are any new believers here from last Sunday, you listen up. You want to have your mind blown? Take whatever. In fact, you want to write it down. These are my problems, 1-10. And then you start reading the Bible with that notebook that you wrote in, and watch what happens. Oh, my goodness. Only God can do this. You could play Bible roulette. I don't recommend it, but you could play Bible roulette As a new believer, remember how God just nursed you along right from the beginning? You like flip, pause, open, and you have this dilemma in your life, and your finger, and you put your finger there, and God says, I love you so much, cheer up, it's going to be. And you go, oh my goodness, he just, wow, that's amazing. Well, as you grow along with Jesus, he's not that nice to you as he was at the beginning. He starts saying, okay, remember how you played Bible roulette with me? Yeah. Well, we're not doing that anymore. It's time for you to grow up, put your big boy or big girl pants on, and we're going to march forward. We got some wars ahead of us and some battles to fight. And I'm going to teach you how to follow me without feelings and without seeing the sunshiny days. And I want you to, God says, I'm more pleased than blessed when you follow me when you don't see me. You say, how can that possibly be? It's the way he does it. I don't know how he does it. You can't see him. You can't feel him. And he says, follow me. You say, Jack, that makes no sense. I know it doesn't. His ways are past finding out. But the only way that I know about this being true is when you read the word, it's like this. It's like a compass. Yeah, I don't need to see what's going on around me. In fact, the moment I take my eyes off of this, now I'm blind. Ask Peter. He saw Jesus just fine. And then he started looking at the storm and the waves, and he freaked out and sunk. So do we. But if we don't wait upon God, which if we're not going to seek his Bible, his word, this light and this lamp, Psalm 119 says, then what are we saying? This is an issue of lordship. Is Jesus Lord? In other words, does he call the shots in your life? You say, well, I want him to call the shots, but I don't hear any triggers being pulled. I don't hear any bang. Then you wait until you hear a bang. Well, how long do I wait? I don't know. Well, what if it's a long time? You'll be better off waiting a long time than running ahead of them. It's horrible to run into walls without God.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Arriving, the Second Coming of the Son of God, Part 5. Isn't this a great lesson? And you know, our prayer is that you choose to follow Christ as he's prepared amazing things for those who love him. Arriving, the Second Coming of the Son of God, Part 5, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we will continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, don't forget to check out Pastor Jack's YouTube channel called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. He's got some pretty incredible messages for you, like the human mind, the nature of man, and what we need when we really hurt. You'll also find videos from his Real Life Talk podcasts with topics like the LGBTQ movement and how a Christian should respond. And he's even got one on what the real problem is with gun violence. If you've missed episodes from his Facebook Live series, well, catch up on those. It's called Happening Now. It deals with Bible prophecy as it relates to our current events. We've got something on that YouTube channel just for you. There are over 500 videos to choose from when you subscribe, Real Life with Jack Hibbs on YouTube. And don't forget to click on the notification icon so you'll be up to date on all his latest videos. You can also access Pastor Jack's YouTube channel from his website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Or from the Real Life mobile app. Hey, here's our phone number if you should need it. It's 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free phone call. 877-777-2346. Also, here's the address. Jot this one down. P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.